Well, if there's anything that particular scripture talks about is change. There's a time for certain things, and so I'm going to base my sermon this morning on that very topic of change. My wife and I, the other day, we were out in Riverhead at the Christmas tree shop. We like it there. You get some good deals there. You ever go to a Christmas tree shop? Yeah, it's pretty neat. But I'm always intrigued by T-shirts and coffee mugs. And my wife was looking at some silverware and stuff like that. And I was reading all of the titles and inscriptions on the coffee mugs. There was this area, and, you know, they had all different sayings, like wifey's mug or hubby's mug. But there was one that caught my attention. And this is what it said on the mug. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And all I could think of was Albert Einstein, who once said the definition of insanity is to do the same things over and over again, expecting a different outcome. That is insane, right? I'm going to keep doing the same thing, and I'm going to expect things to be different. Nothing changes if nothing changes. And I said, you know what? That would be a great sermon title. And so I took a picture of the mug so I wouldn't forget it, and I began to formulate a message on that very topic, which is important because I'll tell you why. If you're like me, most people don't like change. We get comfortable. I mean, we get into this zone, this sense of normalcy, if you will, and we don't like to change the course that we're on, even though our normalcy sometimes borders on insanity by the things that we do on a daily basis. Someone once said, change is inevitable, but misery is optional. We have a choice whether or not we're going to be miserable, unhappy, grumpy. I talked a little bit about that last week. But change is part of life. And if we're going to grow, we have to change. You know, do you remember what normal looked like before the pandemic? Do you remember what that looked like? When people weren't walking around looking like Dr. Kildare? Now the older people remember Dr. Kildare, right? For younger folks, it was a TV program about a doctor who was doing surgeries and so forth and always had a mask. And we didn't get to see each other's faces. And for a long period of time, we couldn't even worship in this sanctuary, which was really hard on people because we needed community. We needed to be together. We needed to see each other. And things were not normal. But yet we had to change in order to deal with the crisis. We had to shift and alter the way we were used to living so that we can get through this pandemic. And I think we're on the good side of this pandemic now. But I don't know about you. I've seen enormous, probably the only changes Michelangelo knows is when his diapers change. But as far as me, as old as I am now, I've seen lots of changes. I can remember that little black and white Zenith TV set in the living room that at midnight it played the national anthem and you heard boop. There was no more TV until the morning. No 130 stations or cable. That was it. You went to bed. There was no more TV. And then, of course, we had the dial phone. How many remember that? You know, you had to dial. And then the push buttons came. And now everybody's got a cell phone. And you got a camera everywhere you go. How many remember when you had 12 prints and you made every single one of them a good shot? Today you shoot 100 shots and you get rid of 90 of them. So I've seen those changes. I can remember curling up as a kid during the summer reading H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, A Time Machine, and I would the fantasy of science fiction, And then all of a sudden, we put an astronaut on the face of the moon and beyond. The changes are incredible. You know, once it took months to travel across the plains to get to California, and now you could jump on a plane and get there in 4 or 5 hours. We've seen a lot of changes. Our bodies are changing. I got the COVID-25. I don't like those changes. You see, change is inevitable. And it's going to happen whether we like it or not. Regardless, changes are going to occur. The real question is, can we use these changes in our favor? I love this illustration of a hot air balloon. And, you know, you got the gondola under it, and a person gets in that gondola and expects that balloon to rise without throwing out the sandbags that weighs it down. And I thought to myself, so many people are weighted down by stuff in their lives that they don't need. And it keeps them from soaring and being lifted up in their spirit and in their attitude and their behavior, because they're so weighted down with so much junk in their lives. You know, Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every weight. We got to get rid of some stuff that we have, that we've been carrying around for years, because all it does is drag us down and keep us from soaring. Because nothing changes if nothing changes. And I also believe in Einstein when he said, the definition of insanity, keep doing the same thing and expecting something to be different tomorrow. It's just not going to happen. We get stuck in this rut. And I looked up the definition of rut, and this is what it said. A fixed, usually boring routine. You get in this rut. I think we experienced that during the pandemic. We're in this rut. If things don't change, guess what? We're going to stay in that rut. And that's where that saying comes, spinning our wheels. You know, you get stuck in the snow in a rut, and you keep spinning the wheels, but you're not going anywhere. In fact, the rut keeps getting deeper and deeper in that mud or that snow, because we're doing the same thing over and over again. I sometimes watch this program on TV. Have you ever watched it? Hoarders? Have you watched that? It's really sad. My wife says that I'm moving in that direction.
Just don't bring it back to the church.
Right, no. I have this little man cave, and she goes in there. She says, I'm not going in there. I don't know what's growing in there. But it's sad, though, as I watch this programming about the hoarders, it's truly, that's the wind, folks. That's the Holy Spirit. And what happens, they lose control of their lives, and they keep bringing more and more stuff into their home, until their life is completely out of control. And then the family brings in a psychologist who specializes in that area, and they begin to speak to this individual gently and carefully and compassionately to get that person to change, to remove all this stuff so that their home is once again livable. But it requires change. And change is not easy. It's not easy for those hoarders because it's an emotional thing with them. I don't think they like living the way they live, but unless there's a change, it's only going to get worse. You see, I believe one of the problems with change is that it brings uncertainty. If we change, we're not sure this is going to work. And then uncertainty brings a certain level of fear about the future. And I was thinking about 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, right? But what does he say? But of power and love and a sound mind. We should never walk through this life afraid. That is why prayer is so important. And I think Barbara touched on that with the devotion from Henry Nouwen. Prayer does good. How many believe prayer can change things?
Amen.
It really can. I've seen it in my own life. No one could talk me out of that. Prayer can change things. But you have to go in that prayer with a sense of expectation that something is going to happen. You can't go in there doubting. You got to say, Lord, you're bigger than I am. If you could place all the stars in the heavens, you could certainly change this situation that I'm in right now in my own life. I love what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says that when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we become a new creation. Have you experienced that new creation? I could tell you I have. I can remember what life was like BC, before Christ. And I know what it's like now. And he takes that old stuff, and Paul says, he gives you all things new. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the newness of God. I don't want to keep dragging that baggage around that I had before I met my Lord. In other words, we have to change. How many are familiar with the 12-step program? I think it's a wonderful program to help people make changes in their lives. And there's a prayer that Reinhold Niebuhr penned. And listen what he said. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, and the courage to change things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Now, you see, there are some things that we cannot change. We can't change our past. It's over. It's recorded. It's done. There's no way, unless you believe in H.G. Wells, you could jump in a time machine and go back in time. Whatever we did in the past is done. But we could do something about our present, and we could do something about our future by changing. And in this 12-step program, it helps people get out of a rut. Now listen, this applies not just to people who are dealing with addictions. It applies to all of us. We have to take a step forward to say, you know what? My life could be better than what it is today. My life can be better than what it is today. And I need to admit, it's called confession, that I messed up in my life. Has anyone ever messed up in your life?
Not today.
Not yet, Bobby. You know that we messed up. We confess that, you know what? All these things I've been trying, it's not working. There are certain things in my life that are out of control, out of my control. But then the Apostle Paul said, think of this. Now, this is the Apostle Paul who wrote so much of the New Testament. He said, the very things I should do, I don't do. And the very things I don't do, I should be doing. This is the Apostle Paul who's saying, every single day I have to take a self-inventory because my flesh has me doing things that I shouldn't be doing. So the bottom line is, all of us have messed up and fallen short of the glory of God. Except Michelangelo. It's a struggle being in these human bodies. And until we go to be with the Lord on high, we're going to struggle to stay on the right path. It's not easy, especially living in this day and age. But you know, in that program, that 12-step program, a person has to have hope. And I thought about my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. Life is tough, and I get it, if we don't have hope. If we don't believe that things could get better in our lives, if we don't believe that change could actually occur, Paul said we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen. You could do all things through Christ, not on your own, but through Him. And so we have to embrace hope. And then lastly, we need to let go and let God. I can't continue to hold on to those things that weigh me down. And you know what? For years, personally speaking now, if there was a camera, a certain technical instrument that could detect baggage, I would have had JFK baggage
behind me,
dragging around this baggage. We got to let go of those bags. It's like that hot air balloon. If we continue to hold on to those sandbags, the balloon's not going to rise. If we continue to hold on to our stuff and we don't let go, we're not going to rise up into the person that God has always seen us to be. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he loves you and he cares for you. Cast all your stuff on him. He could handle it. If we want to move forward, we got to get rid of our stuff. Nothing changes if nothing changes. You see, the new creation that Paul spoke of is illustrated by a caterpillar and a butterfly. If that caterpillar stays in that cocoon, it's never going to soar on wings. It has to break out of that cocoon in order to be lifted up. And the same holds true for us. If we're in that cocoon of the flesh and we don't surrender to God and Jesus Christ and we don't ask for his help, we're never going to break out of this situation that we're in so that we could soar and fly as Jesus intended for each of us to do. Jesus doesn't want us to stay where we're at. But guess what? Here's the good news. He'll accept us where we're at. He'll accept you just as you are. You know, I've had people in my office say, you know what? I can't ask God to forgive me because I've done so many things wrong. I got to clean up my life first. No, he'll take you just the way you are without one plea. And he'll change your life and he'll change mine. He wants to change our heart. He wants to change our mind. He wants to change our talk, our walk, our behavior. He wants to change our entire life to reflect him in all that we do. And I thought to myself, if Jesus restored the lepers and the blind and the lame, don't you think he could restore us into being the person he always saw us to be? Instead of nothing changes, if nothing changes, I'm going to ask him to make a new mug. I want it to read, something changed because something changed in my life. Something changed. And I end with this. For generations, the founder of the Methodist movement, John Wesley, his family were devout church-going people. They were in church every Sunday. In fact, for several generations, the Wesleys served as Anglican priests. His father, his father's father, his brother. But it wasn't until John Wesley attended a Bible study on the Book of Romans on a street called Aldersgate Street in London, England. And as he was listening to the person leading that Bible study, he surrendered his life to Jesus. He's a priest now, but for the first time, he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And he says, my heart was strangely warmed. I was changed from the inside out. And through that change, John Wesley changed England, Ireland, what would become the United States, and in fact, across the globe to this very day. Why? He changed. He changed. But it begins with that first step. Things could be better. And with God's help, I'm ready for change. How about you? Amen. How about you? Are you ready for change? Amen.